Thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking there at Hebrews chapter 11 in just a few moments as we talk about how we can live more. It's meme time. I want to share with you some memes I found that I find funny or I can connect with in some way or maybe connect with this week even. But I came across this one I thought was rather humorous. Every problem has a solution. You see in that picture, the guy has figured out a way to fix that problem. You know, signs are always kind of interesting to me when I see, especially road signs. And this road sign I thought was interesting. It says, caution, water on road during rain. Okay, makes sense, right? Speaking of water, I saw this particular meme. It says, what are you looking at? If you look at it real close, it looks like eyeballs, right? Looking, you know, like looking, but it's actually drops of water. Look at that real close. I think it's kind of a cool pick, actually. Speaking of water, though, do you know only three men in history have walked on water? Jesus, Peter, and Anselmo. Only Anselmo has the picture. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, in a different vein, Girl Scouts are out selling cookies again, it seems like, and here recently, and we're going to start eating those here shortly. But kind of reminds me, how many boxes of Thin Mints do I need to eat before I start seeing results? Think about it. Speaking of eating things, this one I definitely related to. Back in my day, we ate ice cream out of toilet paper rolls and didn't complain. How do we remember that, right? Right? Remember that? I think they may even sell those somewhere probably, but it's amazing. Right out of the toilet paper roll, it looks just like it, right? And then this kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about today. Wouldn't it be ironic if you choked on a lifesaver? Well, we're going to talk about actually the opposite of that. We're going to talk about how you can live more, how that we can live more, how we can enjoy life so much more. Before we do, though, let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your love and your mercy, your grace to us. You're so good to us, God. And so, Lord, I just pray today that you'd speak through this mouthpiece and challenge us, Lord, to live more, to live with more power, live with more faith, to live with just more blessings in our life. And so, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for all that you're doing and going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we're wrapping up our series that I've entitled More. We're talking about more in 2024. Now, we've been discovering in this series how to tap into the full potential of faith and to see God do great things in our life. Now, when you live a life of faith, things begin to happen in your daily existence that are beyond explanation. I mean, help comes from places that you don't expect. Results are realized that you didn't anticipate. And you experience blessings beyond your biggest dreams. You experience more. But this is not to imply that the life of faith is easy. I mean, when you choose to live a life of faith, you take the neutral option right off the steering column. I mean, there's no coasting in a life of faith, but neither is there a park or a reverse. I mean, it is always full speed ahead. The life of faith is not a lifestyle for the timid because there are risks involved. Now, over the past few weeks, I've emphasized again and again and again that faith is not a feeling. In fact, sometimes when you're walking in faith, you won't feel all warm and bubbly inside. I mean, you'll feel a little nervous, maybe even a little bit afraid, a little timid because you've taken a big risk and you don't know exactly how everything's going to pan out. Listen, when that happens, you don't need to worry about it. We don't rely on our feelings. We rely on the goodness of God. We rely on the promises of God. And we live under the protection of God. Faith's not a feeling. It's something that you decide, and then it's something that you do. You choose to have an attitude of expectancy, and then you take actions that are consistent with what you're asking God to do. You know, very simply put, faith is thinking right and doing right. It's living in expectation, and then it's following through with corresponding actions. Now, in the first week of this series, we looked at the thinking right aspect of faith. We saw that faith begins with an attitude of expectancy. We learned that expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles in our life. We also learned that you can only go as far in your life as your faith is strong enough to take you. Now, why is that? Well, because God responds to your faith, not your feelings, not your wants, not even your needs, but God responds to your faith. Jesus' exact words in Matthew 20, chapter 9, verse 29, he says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, in week number two, we looked at the doing right aspect of faith. We saw that faith isn't something that you feel. Instead, it's something that you do. In addition to having an attitude of expectancy, we need to take actions that are consistent with what we're asking God to do. Now, we do this even when it's not easy, even when there's a risk that we're going to suffer in the process, even when we have no guarantee of how things are going to turn out. Now, last week, we talked about building bigger faith. We talked about what you can do to make your faith stronger. In other words, to grow in your faith. As Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We talked about ways that you can literally saturate your mind with the word of God through what you read, what you listen to, what you sing, what you say. And the more that you fill your mind with the word of God, the more knowledge and the more wisdom and discernment that you'll have. And the more that your faith will grow and the stronger your faith will become. Now today, I want to talk about the guarantees of living in faith. And if you'll get serious about making the walk of faith day after day after day, making faith a habit in your daily life, I can guarantee it because the Bible guarantees it, that certain things will happen. Now, it shouldn't surprise you that our text for today's message is Hebrews chapter 11, because Hebrews chapter 11 is also known as the greatest chapter on faith in the entire Bible. It's actually called the Hall of Faith because it lists a number of great people from the Old Testament whose faith made a big difference in their lives and really in the lives of those that are around them. Now, I could preach several weeks from this one single chapter because there's just so much in here. But today's message can't cover everything in Hebrews chapter 11 and what it says about faith, but we're going to hit the highlights, okay? And so I'm going to encourage you to study this chapter further as you pursue a life of faith, as you dig into a life of faith. Look at chapter 11. It's a great chapter to really just dig deep into. But here are the guarantees I want to talk about today. And that is, if you live a life of faith, the Bible promises that certain things will happen. The first guarantee is that, number one, you will be pleasing to God. Number one, you'll be pleasing to God. Exercising your faith pleases God. It makes him happy. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say that you cannot please God without faith. In fact, these are his exact words in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I love those words. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's your attitude of expectancy in the goodness of God. God wants us not only to acknowledge his existence, but also to believe that he is good to those who seek him, who seek after him, that God blesses them, that God rewards them. You see, that's how we're saved. It's how our relationship with God begins. We are saved by faith. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So a relationship with God begins with faith, and then it is sustained with faith. You see, it's our faith that keeps us connected to God. It is this connection that God is seeking with human beings, though. Let me give you an example of how this works. Have you ever had a job that where you could do that job without much personal investment and still do it well? I did. I remember one of my first jobs as a teenager was that as a dishwasher. And that was a pretty good one. I mean, I could wash dishes without getting emotionally attached to the process. I could go through the motions of, you know, soap, rinse, sanitize, stack. And when I was done, the dishes sparkled, but you couldn't tell by looking at them whether or not that I love my job or whether or not I even like my boss or whether or not I was even a happy person. Now, I'll confess, sometimes while I was making those dishes squeaky clean, I was grumbling and complaining on the inside, and sometimes my mind might have been wandering 1,000 miles away. But you see, the dishes got washed, and I got paid for my work. Not for my emotional attachment to the job. It was just routine work, nothing more. I want to tell you, that's not the kind of relationship God wants to have with his people. where we just go through the routine of keeping the Ten Commandments and giving 10% and doing various good deeds. No, he wants us involved with him personally. He wants us to connect with him on an emotional level. He wants us to love him. He wants us to need him. He wants us to depend upon him. And that's why he responds to our faith, because you can't put your faith in God without being personally involved with him. You can't put your faith in him without acknowledging that he is a loving and merciful and generous God, and that he's good to us far beyond what we deserve. You know, it pleases God when you put your faith in him. It pleases God when you say, Father, I am trusting you to restore my broken marriage. I'm depending upon you, God, to heal me. I'm relying on you to provide the job that I need to help me through this crisis I'm going through, you know, to bring someone special into my life. You know, when we come to him believing that he rewards those who seek him, he's pleased. And so at the very start, I want you to take assurance in knowing that your attempt to live a life of faith is pleasing to God. Secondly, number two, if you choose to live a life of faith, I can guarantee, secondly, that you will sometimes abandon security to enter into parts unknown. You're going to abandon comfort and security to enter into the parts unknown. You know, the writers of Hebrews chapter 11, he tells about Abraham in verse number 8. Says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Now, the story of Abraham actually begins in the book of Genesis, when his name was originally Abram. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And then in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God then gave Abraham an incredible promise. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And so what do we find? Abraham then sets out for Canaan, the land of Canaan. This is a place that his father talked about, but Abraham had never seen it. Years before, he and his father had settled into the land of Haran, and Abraham couldn't sit still. God was calling him to move ahead. And so Abraham left Haran, not knowing exactly where he was going or what would happen along the way, only that he was following the path that God had laid out for him. And he left the security of his father's house to journey toward parts unknown. Now, there are some of you today that are watching this who God is calling to enter into parts unknown. Maybe it's to start a business, and that means you have to leave the security of your 9-to-5 job. Or maybe he's calling you to change jobs. Maybe God's calling you to a relationship that you need to get out of, or maybe one you need to get into. Or maybe God is calling you to serve him in a voluntary ministry, and you have to leave the security of your comfortable sofa a couple of nights a week, maybe. You know, there are going to be times when the walk of faith that God's calling you to, That when you're called upon to abandon the security and go into the unknown, I can guarantee it. But that's living by faith. That's living by faith. You sometimes have to give up the comfort and security of what you know and are comfortable in, and you give that security up to do what God's calling you to do. Also, if you choose to live a life of faith, you can thirdly be guaranteed that you'll be called upon to prove yourself. You're going to be called upon to prove yourself. Look at verse 17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Now, there are many people that have trouble with this story that the writer of Hebrews is referring to here, because it just seems out of character for a loving God. You know, maybe you remember the story in the book of Genesis. God had told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that he would be a blessing to all generations, and that this would occur through his son Isaac. And then in Genesis chapter 22, God says to Abraham in verse number 2, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, why would God ever say such a thing? Kill your son. I mean, that can't be right. Now, you probably know how the story ends. Abraham did not have to kill his son, obviously, but he did take him up to the mountain. He did prepare an altar. And at the last moment, when it came time to make the sacrifice, God stopped him. God said to him in Genesis 22, verse 12, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now, many people wonder when they read this particular story, how could God do such a thing? I mean, how could such a story be in the Bible? Well, I think the story is actually in there for three reasons specifically. First of all, this story illustrates what God would later himself do, that he sent his only son, Jesus, into the world to die for our sins. And so this story actually foreshadows the work of Jesus Christ coming into the world as God's sacrifice for man once and for all. I also secondly think that this story, you know, told in this particular fashion, dramatized for the ancient world that God does not endorse human sacrifice. You see, you have to understand that God didn't ask Abraham to do something against the law. I mean, had Abraham actually sacrificed Isaac, the police would not have been there to arrest him. A man had a legal right to kill his son in 2000 BC. You see, a son was considered just another possession, and many religions actually practice child sacrifices. So in this particular story, this topic of that was addressed. The scene was set, and at the climactic moment, God forbid it from taking place. Now, he did this, I think, to dramatize the point, no, I do not want this to happen. Human sacrifice is not an acceptable practice. And then thirdly, I also think that this story shows us that sometimes God will call upon us to do things that we don't understand, things that we don't want to do. Now, he does this because he wants us to take our stand and choose which side we're going to be on. To say, God, I will do what you ask me to do no matter what. No matter what it is, God, I'm willing to do it. Now, God will never ask you to do what he asked Abraham to do. He is not going to ask you to sacrifice or to kill your child. But there will be times when you're asked to take steps that you don't want to take. There are going to be times when you are called upon to prove yourself. And there are going to be times of testing that you go through. But the good news is that the tests don't last forever. You know, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, James says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Now, the fourth guarantee in the life of faith is number four, that you're going to be called upon to make sacrifices. I can guarantee you're going to be called upon to make sacrifices. Look there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward." You know, when we talk about living a life of faith and seeing God do great things in your life, I want you to understand that it will happen. It will happen. But I also want you to understand that there's going to be seasons in the life of faith when you're not on the receiving end of God's blessings, but instead you're on the giving end of personal sacrifices. There are going to be seasons when you're not living in abundance, but instead you're living in lack, waiting for God to provide. Now, he will provide, but there will be a season maybe of doing without. There are going to be seasons of waiting. There are going to be times of waiting that you have to go through. And during that time of waiting, it is absolutely essential that you remain faithful. You know, there are going to be times when you think, you know what? I could have it a lot easier than this. I mean, I could give up now and I wouldn't have to sacrifice all of my time and all my money and all my energy. I mean, if I wasn't investing so much money in God's work, I could be driving a new car. Or if I wasn't investing so much time in serving other people, I could spend more time on the golf course. Or if I wasn't pouring my life into pursuing this particular dream, I could relax and watch a little more TV. You know, it is at that moment that we have to say, no, I won't pursue a life of luxury. I'll pursue a life of serving others, even if I have to pay a price. You're going to be called upon to make a sacrifice in the life of faith. I can guarantee it. But the fifth guarantee in the life of faith is number five, that you'll see the power of God unfold before your eyes. You're gonna see God's power in an amazing way. Look at verse 29. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground. And when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And then in verse 30, the writer goes on to say, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Now, the story of the parting of the Red Sea and the story of the walls of Jericho tumbling to the ground, those are two very well-known Old Testament events. Now, both of these stories, I think, illustrate how God is able to make the impossible happen, how he is able to provide a solution when there's no solution in sight. Now, you may be trapped between a mighty sea and an approaching army with no possible way of escapement at that moment, but at that moment is when God will provide a way out. God will come through just in time. I mean, there may be an impenetrable wall standing between you and the life of your dreams with no possible way to get past them, and at that right moment, God will provide a way through. You know, I imagine that everybody who maybe has been a Christian for more than a short while has had a Red Sea story to tell. Maybe a time when God came through for you in a miraculous way, where you chose to live a life of faith day after day after day. And these become common occurrences after you continue to walk in faith day after day after day. You'll see the power of God unfold before your eyes. You'll see needs being met at the right moment, at just the right time. You'll see miracles take place in hopeless situations. You're going to experience power over sin that you never thought possible. And you will enjoy blessings beyond your greatest hopes. I can guarantee it. Sometimes you may have to wait for it, but I guarantee that it will come as you trust God, as you put your faith in him, and God will reward those who put their faith in him. That's what the scripture told us today. You know, in closing, living a life of faith is not for the timid. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for those that want an easy life, but it's for those that want a great life, those who want to accomplish great things for God and want to see him do great things. I'm telling you, if that's what you want, the life of faith is for you. If you're willing to put aside your feelings, if you're ready to decide to live in expectancy and begin asking God to do great things in your life, if you're ready to follow through with actions that are consistent with what you're asking God for, if you're ready to take the risk to enter into parts unknown, to make a stand, to pay the price of faith, then you will experience the power of God in your life like never before. And so for this reason, I say walk in faith. And more power to you. You'll experience more, because that's what a life of faith brings, more power. Not just more life, we're talking about more power. And so as we pursue more in 24, let's seek a life of more faith and a life of more of his power. Let's live more the way God wants us to live. You know, today, maybe you've never opened your heart or life to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today. God loves you so much that just like Abraham, the example of Abraham where God was asking him to sacrifice his son, God willingly did that for you and I in allowing his son Jesus to come and be the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind, to pay the price for the sins of all mankind, to give us a fresh start. Jesus came, died upon the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed to pay the price for forgiveness of our sins. Jesus, though, didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to show that he has power over life, over death, hell, and the grave, that he has power to bring life into you as well. And you know, he's offering that free gift of a fresh start, a clean slate, forgiveness, if you'll just open your heart to receive. A gift has to be received. It's a free gift, but it needs to be received. So if you've never received that gift of his forgiveness, that gift of a life with him, of his resurrection power filling you and walking with you every day, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive your forgiveness right now. I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to experience your power in my life, a relationship with you. And I want to walk with you in faith so I can live in power. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, in the comment section, just say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer today because I want to celebrate and rejoice with you and pray that God will continue to help you to grow in that faith so you'll experience more of his power so you can live more real life. You know, for many of us today, we need more of his power in our life. And it requires us to let our faith grow and to live more faith, of a faith in our life. And so today, if you want to just ask God, God, I need more of your power because I want 2024 to be a year that I live more. Let's close in prayer asking God to do that. Father, thank you today that it's your desire that we live more. Live more of your power, more by walking in faith. That, Lord, that faith, that's by faith that we please you, but not just by faith do we please you, but Lord, by faith we walk with you. We're sustained by our faith in you, and it causes us to live more blessed life. It causes us to be a receiver of blessing, a giver of blessing. So, Lord, I pray that you would use us more in 24. That, Lord, that your life would just begin to permeate ours and that we would be able to experience life to the fullest, life abundant. And we just thank you, Lord, and it comes with more power. So, Lord, give us the power to live every day in faith. We thank you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week.